Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen's Sportsbook app and use code HILLS and sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to help and remind you that you are not alone. Listen to the two-hour I'm Listening special right now at imlistening.org. The special features in-depth discussion with members of TLC, Jon Bon Jovi, Katy Perry, Luke Combs, DJ Khaled, and many more, along with some of the most respected names in helping and healing. For details and more information, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
I'm journalist Ben Ryder, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, The Edge. Last year, the Houston Astros were caught in a massive cheating scandal, putting the legitimacy of their 2017 World Series in doubt. I'm talking to people who were there to figure out what happened. Why did the most innovative organization in the history of sports push itself not just to the edge, but over it? Listen to The Edge on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit GLIGlenview.com. They've got it. We've got Brian Geltzeiler in 60 seconds talking Bulls and NBA on The Score.
Pros today have to do whatever the job calls for, and the Home Depot is here to help make that easier. With a wide range of delivery options, you can get what you need from job lot quantities to small supply runs, delivered where and when you need it. Don't want to buy the tool? Rent it. We've got the most innovative products and more ways for pros to find them, in-store and online. Pros are changing, so are we. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
What up, it's KD. I'm excited to finally bring you my podcast, The Etceteras, with my guy Eddie Bansky Gonzalez.
What's up, guys? Eddie here. I love this concept and this project because it gives us the chance to talk about anything. One week we might be talking about a team from O2 that we love and feel like just didn't get their props.
Yeah, and the next week we'll be talking about an album that completely changed the way we listen to music.
So join me and KD each and every week on The Etceteras.
Subscribe and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Four to shoot. Butler drives, flips it up, and in. Jimmy Butler had that quick release. 32 for Butler. The game is tied again. James now guarding Butler. Hero sets the screen. Caldwell Pope picks him up. One-on-one. Butler backs in. That fall-away shot is up and good. 34 for Butler. Butler the drive, the runner. He banks it in. Oh, what a masterpiece from Jimmy Butler. And the Heat go up by 9 with 1:13 remaining. The Miami Heat, their title hopes are still alive. With one of the more surprising results in a finals game in a long, long time. an 11-point victory over the Lakers, and they are right back in this series.
What's it like having the game of your life when your team absolutely needs you to have the game of your life in that situation?
We won. I could care less about, you know, a triple-double. We played this game to win. I'm glad my teammates got a lot of trust and faith in me to go out there and hoop like that. But like I always said, if you guarantee me a win, I could care less.
That's Jimmy Butler, his post-game Zoom press conference. The highlights courtesy ABC, the game of his life, without question. We got game four coming up tonight. Here to talk about that and some Bulls stuff as well is Brian Geltziler, who is on Twitter at HoopsCritic, NBA TV, SiriusXM, and with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Geltzy, how are you?
I'm good, Dan. How we doing, pal?
Great. The stat that came from that game with his triple-double, including 40 points, I was just blown away by this. According to Elias Sports, Jimmy Butler is the first player to outscore, out-rebound, and out-assist LeBron James in a finals game, including LeBron's teammates. That has never happened before. And you say it may be a Jimmy Butler stat, but that's more of a LeBron wow stat than anything else to me, right?
Correct. That's a LeBron James stat. That speaks to LeBron James's greatness. And we're going to sit here, and we will have this conversation here, Dan, about how LeBron James didn't play a great game. And what were the numbers? 25, 10, and 8, right? I mean, and he didn't have a great game. And on 17 shots. So it's almost like he's organically efficient, even with the 8 turnovers, regardless of what happens. But what we saw from Jimmy Butler was this, Dan. The game of his life. You look at this, a 40-point triple-double in an NBA final game, in a game that his team had to have or they lose the series. And whatever happens to Jimmy Butler, again, his career and his life, he will always have Sunday night. Sunday night is as special a game as you will see an NBA player ever have. And if there's any question about Jimmy Butler's greatness as an NBA player, we could probably retire that after what we saw Sunday. Under the brightest of lights, the biggest of stages, and the maximum level of pressure when winning is something that matters to him and matters to the franchise and the organization that he plays for in the same kind of way. It's something that matters to them at their core. And just, I can't say enough superb relatives for the way Jimmy Butler went out there and played Sunday night.
And it's bittersweet for Bulls fans who maybe also be Butler fans, because even though the Garpax regime found him, developed him, Tom Thibodeau knew how to bring him along, it wasn't going to work here. That Jimmy Butler, had he stayed here because of the culture here and because of the headwinds here, I don't think there's anybody that thinks that they could have gotten that out of him. That's a Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra thing.
Listen, I think that's fair. I think that's really, really fair. I think the reality is he's been, you know, for the Bulls, they felt it was time to turn the page. He was not going to be a guy that they felt would steward a rebuild. And then he goes to Minnesota, and yes, Tom's in Minnesota, but he realized very quickly the organization in Minnesota empowered Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins by paying them. And Jimmy Butler wanted to be paid, so he was empowered in somewhat the same way. So he had that, be able to flex his muscles, so to speak, in getting those guys on the same page as him and working hard enough to be great. When they dragged their feet and didn't make Butler what he deemed an appropriate contract offer, it was time for him to be out of there. And don't let anybody think that there was anything more that happened in Minnesota that didn't. It was money. It was money, and that's what it was. So he gets traded to Philadelphia, and people forget pretty quickly that there was three Kawhi Leonard bounces on the rim away from the Philadelphia 76ers being the team that advanced to the conference finals last year. And essentially, their playoff success was when Brett Brown put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands. And again, it was a situation that, and this is important to note, listen, Embiid and Simmons, they said what they had to say about Jimmy Butler and to Jimmy Butler, in terms of saying, hey, yeah, we all buy in. That's not necessarily what they were saying to management behind Jimmy Butler's back. And ultimately, the influence and the way Butler made people uncomfortable made everybody in Philadelphia uncomfortable. They never made him the offer they made Tobias Harris. Butler had two offers out there. One was Houston, and it was going to be a big time sign and trade, just like Miami was going to be a big time sign and trade. He chose Miami over Houston. They were the only 4-year max offers he had out there. And think about all the teams that they've ended up beating and gone past that could have have had a chance to get Jimmy Butler if they were willing to, you know, understand what his reputation was all about and move past that, Dan, to be able to want to sign him. Miami was the one that did it. And I will also say this about Butler. The reality is he had two number one overall picks in Towns and Wiggins that wouldn't buy into what he wanted to do work ethic-wise. He had a number one overall pick in Simmons and a number three overall pick in Embiid that, if he wasn't hurt, would have been a number one overall pick, who, again, wouldn't necessarily buy into things from a work ethic standpoint. He gets to Miami, and he gets a number 14 overall pick in Tyler Hero, a number 14 overall 13 in Bam Adebayo. He gets undrafted free agents in Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn. Those guys had to work for everything they've gotten in their basketball careers. Those are the guys that buy in.
Bulls fans are also watching a reborn Rajon Rondo on the Lakers, doing everything that we know he can do. And it's almost like it's reminiscent of late career Jason Kidd, when with his feet set, now you have to think about guarding him from three, and it makes a tremendous difference to the shape of that offense, especially when Miami falls back into their zone.
Yeah, listen, he's played great, and he didn't have a wonderful game three, and that was a significant reason why I think that the Lakers were not able to make a push in the second half. He has been a fantastic player for the Lakers in the second half of all of these playoff games. But also, it's important to understand something else about Rondo. Rondo has had his best non-Celtics moments of his career playing with Anthony Davis. Don't forget that a couple years back, when the Pelicans swept the Blazers as a lower seed, as a 6 seed versus a 3 seed, in the first round of the playoffs, Rondo was there playing point guard for that team as their starting point guard with Anthony Davis. There is something about playing with Anthony Davis that seems to be wind beneath Rondo's wings. They have a great chemistry together. Even look at the game two game winner that Anthony Davis made against Denver in the Western Conference Finals. That was a play called for LeBron James. Rondo and Davis essentially went rogue because the Nuggets had it read for LeBron James, and Davis was able to get off an uncontested shot. Rondo is what he and Davis have together. There's a lot of unspoken there between the way the two of them play. And yes, you're right, he's hit some big shots and he's made some fantastic plays. But he generally is, he makes Davis go, but Davis makes Rondo go also. It's a really interesting chemistry between those two players. And again, it dates back to those New Orleans days. And for whatever reason, they're very comfortable on the floor together.
If you've always wanted to put a face to the signature voice of our guest Brian Geltzeiler, you can go to twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore.com to get a look at this basketball expert, if you like. And
face for radio.
I'm sure you heard this and saw this a couple weeks ago. Charles Barkley put it right to Anthony Davis. Why doesn't your motor run hot all the time? He just asked. And I thought Davis was pretty self-aware in his answer about how sometimes he doesn't quite have that mentality to go full bore all the time. And it can't be easy when you have LeBron James there and you're trying to find space to let the greatest player ever do what he does. I expect tonight that we're going to see energized, aggressive Anthony Davis. And I'm wondering how, as his career goes on, how he's going to manage that motivation and that motor when he acknowledges that sometimes it runs hot and cold.
Listen, we better see it tonight. I mean, hey, understand what happened in that game. They got foul trouble in the first half, and that played to the Heat's advantage. With that said, Kuzma and Markieff Morris were fantastic in this game and hit bunches of shots in both halves. And so when you look at what happened at halftime, considering how little Davis played in the first half, considering that he had foul trouble, the Lakers being down 4 at the half was really not a bad outcome with all the turnovers in the first quarter. Davis, with about 10:15 left in the third, draws his fourth foul. And Frank Vogel makes a decision that I thought was a fantastic decision at the time in that spot in the game and that spot in the series. We're going to leave Anthony Davis in the game. We're going to have confidence in Anthony Davis that he's going to be able to defend effectively well enough to not draw that fifth, leave him on the floor, because essentially, if we can win this game in the third quarter, great, let's go out there and do it. Davis went totally passive. Now, you want to make a case, not enough plays were called for him, they didn't use him enough as a screener in screen and roll, you know, you can say all those things. Here's the problem with that. This is a player that we consider one of the great players in the game. You've heard people rank him top five over the course of this playoff. I've heard him as being one of the two best players in the game over the course of this playoff. You have to command and demand the ball with your presence. And whether that's verbal, whether that's nonverbal, whether that's moving without the ball, Davis shrunk. And here's the stat that proves that Davis shrunk in the way that he did. Dan, 9 shots in 32 minutes. Think about this. He scored 15 points in a game. This is Anthony Davis. He scored 15 points in a game where he shot 66% from the field, 6 of 9 shooting. I don't know where the aggressiveness went. He did not assert himself on the offensive end of the floor, and that's something. Listen, you had foul trouble defensively. You took a couple of dumb fouls. You absolutely had one or two go against you. They didn't need to go against you, but you need to be aggressive on that end of the floor. You can't worry about drawing offensive fouls. You have to get down there in the post. You have to come to the foul line against the zone. Now, granted, they each shelved the zone, and it worked well for them. And I don't think, unless Adebayo's back tonight, and I think he might be, but unless Adebayo's back tonight, I don't think we'll see a ton more zone because of how well man worked for Miami in Game 3. But, geez, Anthony Davis, you have to, at a certain point in time, show LeBron James, show your teammates, show your coaching staff that you want that ball in the spots where you want that ball. Davis just, he became a wallflower at the worst possible time. And tonight, I think we should see some advanced and big-time aggressiveness from him. I would be surprised if we don't, because, listen, he is a man among boys out there. They're guarding him with Jay Crowder. He's given up 5 inches to him, and without Adebayo, he should have taken full advantage of that. But between Crowder's physicality and Olynyk, who's been a godsend for Miami in this series, between Olynyk's physicality, Anthony Davis didn't respond in Game 3 in the physical way you expect him to. And here's the other thing, Dan, and this is important to note. If the Lakers win this series and win the finals, Anthony Davis probably cost himself MVP in Game 3.
Since we last talked, and we had thrown around all sorts of names for Bulls head coach, all sorts of former head coaches, assistants, and then all of a sudden, Billy Donovan becomes available. Arturas Karnišovas swoops in and targets him and hires him and sells him on a vision. What do the Bulls have in Donovan?
Well, they have a fantastic coach. They have a coach that was very much in demand by a lot of teams who never got an opportunity to talk to him. They got a guy that teams around the league believe they can win a title with the right group around him. So they have gotten, and they had a guy who's wonderful with young players. And just take a look at even what he did in OKC last year with the jump that Gilgeous Alexander made year over year, had a great rookie year, was fantastic second year under Billy Donovan. How about Lukin Dort, who came out of nowhere as an undrafted free agent and had a fantastic year? Look at Darius Bazley and what he was able to do in the playoffs for OKC and how well that he played. Billy Donovan develops players. That's what he does, and that's what he does well. And I think when you look at the hire and how the process played out, Dan, it speaks to what Karnišovas knew he had in the opportunity to get Billy Donovan. Arturas Karnišovas has been extremely deliberate about everything that he has done since he has taken over. Look how long he waited to fire Jim Boylan. He wanted to make sure every decision is the
I had a specially designed clock with Jim Boylan's face on it, trying to count down.
He just wanted to make sure he was doing the right thing, and he wanted to make sure he did all of his homework. And let's face it, he had the luxury of time, so he took it and used it. Now think about how quickly he got Billy Donovan hired from the time that Donovan and OKC parted ways. He didn't wait long. He jumped on him. And these are two guys didn't know each other all that well before this began, Dan. And they got to know each other quickly. The whole thing really worked out very, very well. And for the Bulls, the hiring of Karnišovas and Mark Eversley was very important to make a decisive change in the vision and the direction of the team and how the front office works. But now Donovan puts you on the credibility map, because Billy Donovan is an outstanding coach. If they're able to start to develop some of this young talent, and listen, they're going to have to weed out some of this young talent as well. There's, you know, in how the league is playing today, and Donovan is keenly aware of how the league's playing today, and I've said this to you before, there is absolutely, you know, you're not going to be able to play and be successful in long periods of time with both Markkanen and Wendell Carter playing big minutes. So you're going to have to decide between the two of those guys and see where that goes. But they now have a situation where you have a front office, a president, a general manager, and a head coach all pulling in the same direction, and you do have one of the great coaches in the world in Billy Donovan. I am so excited for this for the Chicago Bulls. And by the way, I'm also going to say this. I'm going to credit the Reinsdorfs. in this respect. Listen, one of the reason, the unspoken reason Billy Donovan didn't go back to OKC is because he wanted a lot of money and he wanted a bunch of years on his contract, and they're hurting financially in OKC for a variety of reasons. You know, even before the pandemic, they were hurting financially, but now they're really hurting financially. They were not going to pay a coach on a rebuilding team the amount of money and the amount of years Billy Donovan wanted. What the Bulls did with big time jobs available and jobs that will pay money, and if you look at it, the Sixers are a job that'll pay money. Now that the Clippers are available, they're a job that'll pay money. I don't necessarily think Indiana and New Orleans are going to go that far, but the bottom line was this: Donovan was going to be in demand for multiple other jobs. The Reinsdorf stepped up financially to make sure that the Bulls got their guy.
You got some Bulls fans fired up right now. Brian Geltzeiler, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Dan. Talk soon, pal. Take care.
Indeed we will. That is Brian Geltzeiler of Sirius XM and NBA TV at Hoops Critic. Next up, some baseball talk. Our regular conversation with Craig Calcaterra of the Cup of Coffee newsletter. We'll look at the playoffs. We'll talk some Cubs and some Sox as well with him. Keep it here. You have the score.
Mullion Hall is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period. Mornings 5 to 9.
Love you guys so much, by the way. You know, hey, Monday mornings, when the Bears win, that's the greatest day of my life.
Thanks, Dan.
Listen on your mobile device through the radio.com app and always on the radio at 670 The Score.
Hey, what do you want to da-da-da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da-da-da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no, I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
No.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not today or any day.
Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS and sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000.
Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Pros today have to do whatever the job calls for, and the Home Depot is here to help make that easier. With a wide range of delivery options, you can get what you need from job lot quantities to small supply runs delivered where and when you need it. Don't want to buy the tool? Rent it. We've got the most innovative products and more ways for pros to find them, in-store and online. Pros are changing, so are we. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Music trivia.
The CD is already a media almost obsolete. The first CD was introduced to the consumer market in Japan in 1982. CDs didn't make it to the States until 1983, with the first CD pressing plant opening stateside in 1984. The first two CDs to come off the line were... One was a promotional CD called the Edison CD Sampler. The other, the appropriately named Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Do you ever get annoyed by petty things? Does your head fill up with complaints throughout the day? Well, I have the solution for you. It's a podcast called Unhappy Hour with Matt Bellassai. That's me. Every Tuesday, we vent about all the things we love to hate with special guest complainers like Allison Williams, Liza Koshy, W. Kamau Bell, and so many more. Ready to listen? Go to the free radio.com app and search Unhappy Hour.
Side effects listening to Unhappy Hour include side-splitting laughter and extreme eye rolling.
BuzzFeed reporters Anthony Cormier and Jason Leopold couldn't believe what they were seeing. Secret government documents showing suspicious banking transactions all over the globe.
FIFA, the Olympics, gold, diamonds, oil. Every sector of the economy is besmirched by this dirty money.
Get the full story on suspicious activity inside the FinCEN files. A new podcast available on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows.
Chicago is strong, always has been. In the midst of crisis, we come together to work, fight, contribute, and to show gratitude to the real heroes of this story. Stay strong and bear down.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and... I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with GEICO, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Where fresh eggs reign like opportunity, honey butter goodness is spread, and the frosty is chinoed. At Wendy's, we don't ask what tomorrow holds, but rather, what will you hold tomorrow? Will it be the breakfast baconator or the honey butter chicken biscuit? No matter what you choose, tomorrow's looking good.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and that, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit gliglenview.com. They've got it. Craig Calcaterra is standing by. He'll talk baseball in 60 seconds on The Score.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS and sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older. Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Craig Calcaterra, writer and editor of the daily baseball newsletter, Cup of Coffee.
You gotta try this coffee. It's the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
This is better than Mocha Joe's.
Bringing you up to speed on what's happening in Major League Baseball.
It has been posited that Javier Baez is missing something in his game when he doesn't have people there to entertain.
I'm not yet ready to get on board of some train that says, oh, it's because he's losing energy from the fans. This is not professional wrestling. It's not Hulkamania where all of a sudden his finger is going to go up and he's going to start pointing and hulking out on everybody. I just think it's baseball. It's complicated.
Craig Calcaterra with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Craig Calcaterra. You need to subscribe to the Cup of Coffee daily baseball newsletter, cupofcoffee.substack.com, so you can be a smarter and more entertained baseball fan. Craig Calcaterra is on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. He's on the Alphamonte Ford hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And if you follow him on Twitter, you know he's probably enjoying some freshly baked brownies right about now. How are they?
Oh, they're fantastic. My daughter's having them for breakfast today. I don't know why.
Well, the fact that all of a sudden she just decided to show up with the brownie mix, you're like, wait a second, we didn't have brownie mix in the house. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, she's scoring this stuff out on the street. Watch your kids, everybody. You never know what they're going to bring home.
Well, and then there were eight, and here we are. Before we get into the Chicago locals and your opinions, your post-mortem on their seasons, what's interesting to you about these matchups in the divisional series?
Well, in the first two games yesterday, it's interesting to me just how many home runs we saw. I hope someone is checking on Alex Rodriguez, who, if you listen to him broadcast the first round of the playoffs, he was calling home runs empty calories and counseling the bunt. I think there were something like, you know, eight home runs or nine home runs or something hit yesterday. Granted, that was all because of that very warm, dry Southern California daytime air. But look, you could bash your way to victory in the postseason. Don't let them tell you that it's all about pitching and defense in October.
I want to digress for a second. What is it with the phenomenon of baseball players who did hit home runs and had very high value because of their power production, who when they retire and become broadcasters, all of a sudden have to pay this strange fealty to the myth of small ball. What is the psychology there?
I think it's because it's counterintuitive, and if you're an analyst or a broadcaster, you feel like your value is explaining something that might be difficult to understand to people. That's what you think you're supposed to be doing there. And coming out and saying the real obvious thing, like, you know what, when you're a hitter, the absolute best thing you could do is hit the ball over the fence. Like, there's really no result better than that, so you should try to do that. That's kind of, like, facile. Like, no one thinks that they're going to earn their money as an analyst by saying that, even though it might be true.
When we saw the Miami Marlins against the Cubs, we saw, frankly, just two starting pitchers that just shoved. I mean, that was the story of that series. I'm not a big fan of Don Mattingly as a manager, yet I do allow for the possibility that managers get better. And in fact, one of them is managing now in Dusty Baker, who I will acknowledge at each stop has seemed to get a little better. But the pitching matchups in this series fascinate me. And Miami is an interesting case of a team that doesn't really seem to care, playing free and loose and easy, and may have some more dangerous talent than we thought they had.
It's amazing how much smarter you get as a manager when you've got, like, young, amazing pitchers who can throw 97 miles per hour with wicked breaking stuff. It just makes you that much more smart. And that's the thing with Mattingly. I think he's a fine manager. I don't think he's one of the better ones. I don't think he's one of the worst ones. But having Sandy Alcantara, having Sixto Sanchez, having Pablo Lopez at your disposal, that really makes you a lot better. And it seems like this is a magical Marlins team, but I think we're going to be looking back in a couple of years and realizing, oh, that's when that crop of really good starting pitchers came up. And they have been coming up. This was a team that was just widely derided for its budget cutting and for its fire sales. But this last one, they actually got a lot of talent out of it. They are in the playoffs before the Phillies, and JT Realmuto is in the playoffs, and they got slammed for that trade too. So some credit to the Marlins front office. They've got some good young pitchers, and the Atlanta Braves bash, but they're going to have some trouble with these guys. Although I need to be careful because the Atlanta Braves scored 29 runs off the Marlins like a month ago. So.
Talking with Craig Calcaterra about baseball on The Score. We played a lot of Theo Epstein's end of season press conference earlier today and yesterday after he spoke. It is as in between as I've ever heard him. And he was upfront as to why, and that's because of the variables, the uncertainty. To hear him speak in the passive voice was fascinating to me. Instead of, we plan to do this, we have these options, here's what we can do and will do, it was more, major change is warranted. As if, yes, we're seeing the same things you see. It's obvious what should be done, but he didn't commit to how, or he didn't commit to the fact that it would be done. And I get it, that he doesn't know his budget. They don't even know, frankly, the market value of their own players, these guys hitting the contract year. When you look at where the Cubs are, what they've been, and what they've showed they haven't been, how would you be setting up your offseason? How would you be prioritizing things?
Well, the first thing is I need to say about Epstein and his demeanor and his equivocation. Look, I have interviewed for a lot of jobs in my life, and I'm always careful to not say anything too definitive before the final interview. And, hey, look, Steve Cohen isn't even officially approved as the Mets owner yet. So give Theo some credit before he has to decide whether or not he wants to jump ship and go build another team up. That's just my theory. I don't know anything about that. That's not news, folks. Don't freak out. But it wouldn't shock me if Theo's looking at his next job because, like you said, you know, every 10 years they got to do something else. And what would be a better challenge for him than going to the long ridiculed Mets organization with a brand new owner who might spend money and make them his third World Series, desperate to make them a champion kind of situation? That would, he's already a Hall of Famer, but that would definitely seal it. That aside, and I'm just being snarky, sorry. I think you just have to decide which of the two of your four sort of 2016 heroes are going to be gone, because I think you have to get rid of a couple of them, right? I mean, Chris Bryant's in his walk year. He is not likely to sign a long-term deal with the Cubs, and if he does, it's not going to be any kind of hometown discount given the history there. Now, it's hard, though. Like you said, how do you value it? After him coming off such a terrible season, do you value the 2020 season the way you normally would? Or do you look at what the talent would be? And will your trade partners or potential trade partners view it the same way? I think the same thing is with Schwarber. You got to think about whether or not you could deal him. Again, rough year to be dealing Schwarber or really anybody on the Cubs offense. But I think the future of the club has to be Javi Baez and what you could build around him. Rizzo, you keep him in the house because, you know, he's a team leader. He's got a pretty decent option for 2021, and he's somebody that you really want to keep around for a long time. But I think the Cubs have to look hard at dealing Bryant, dealing Schwarber, and trying to cobble together a much better offense than they've had.
You never have to apologize for being snarky, and please don't do it again, because if you weren't, you know, that's one of the major reasons why you're on here, in fact. Over the course of a couple seasons, I guess I've soured on Ricky Renteria as a tactician, and I do value him as a tone setter and as a culture guy, somebody who maybe not during the game itself or setting the lineup, but in all the other times has value over replacement manager. And I'm trying to weigh how the issues that I do have with some loyalty to some bad players and some obvious mismanagement of pitching situations factors in there. And I mean, I know what the numbers say about managerial differences, and we could talk about Pythagorean ratios, but it would be interesting to me to see how and when Rick Hahn decides, okay, our culture's good, our Spanish-speaking players are happy, they're comfortable, they've got their contracts, they're professional, now we're going to go get A.J. Hinch. I don't know if the White Sox are thinking that way, but I would be if I were Rick Hahn. What say you?
Or Alex Cora. He's available, too. You've got two World Series winning managers out on the market right now. Yeah, both tainted by scandal, but I don't think anybody is going to hold that against them at the end of the day. Fans might, but I don't think front offices will, because they know what they bring to the table. And the Tigers are interviewing, or are said to be open to interviewing, both of those guys. So they might even be in your division. I think you always have to keep your mind open when other talent becomes available. I mean, and we saw this just with Renteria in Chicago a few years ago. He had just, you know, finished the season with the Cubs, and Joe Maddon became available. Sorry, Rick. You sort of have to be ruthless like that, and it sucks that it's Renteria that might happen to, but you have to be ruthless when there's talent around. My view is they hired him to be the caretaker manager as the rebuild ramped up, sort of as the, you know, that figure who could teach young players to play and you know, how to be major leaguers and be a calming presence. And there have been a lot of guys that do that well. I don't know if Renteria has that next gear in him as a manager. Maybe he does. But, you know, again, another guy who used to be kind of thought of that way was Dusty Baker. And look at his progression, like you mentioned at the top of the segment. He's a very different manager now than he used to be. Many of the same good skills that Renteria has. A few more years under the belt, is Renteria a guy who brings a team to the playoffs every year like Dusty does? It's got to be a difficult decision if you're Rick Hahn. But at the same time, this is a team that showed this year, took a huge, huge step forward. They're ready to be a contender. They're ready to win this division. Is Renteria the right guy for it? I just don't know. But I talked to Alex Cora.
Yeah, I think the fact that you raised the question, I mean, it's clear in your answer that it's time for the point B to point C guy. It's just a matter of when do the White Sox feel that's the case? Or do they think, like you say, the question is, do they think Renteria is developing into that? From what I saw this year, I still have major red flags as far as in-game tactics that just scare me too much.
Well, that's the thing that postseason interviews, like exit interviews, are for, right? Because Hahn and the Brain Trust are going to talk to every player, whether it's by cell phone or in person, sometime between now and the end of November. And they're going to have a pretty good gauge. You know, do we have the confidence? Do you guys have the confidence, young players, our future stars? What does Tim Anderson think of him? What does Menez think of him? What do they all think of him? That's going to be the deciding factor about whether he comes back next year or stays for the long haul.
Craig Calcaterra, always great. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
That is Craig Calcaterra. You should be subscribing to the Cup of Coffee newsletter. You can search for it or just go to cupofcoffee.substack.com to get some baseball knowledge. And it's not just that. He drops in all sorts of references to 70s and 80s television and Kurt Vonnegut and stuff from his legal background. It's all very literate and entertaining stuff. We have the Midday Midway coming up straight away, and I have some unfortunate information about murder hornets because we thought it wasn't a thing. Everybody said, don't worry. And now we might have to kind of maybe worry. Also, I have a book recommendation for you. If you're already looking for a holiday gift or you need something to give somebody, this is absolutely wheelhouse for you, the Score listener. I know you better than you think I know you, and I've got a book that's an absolute must read. I'm about half done with it already, and I'm already recommending it highly. Double thumbs up. So we'll talk about that and more on the Midday Midway next on the Score.
Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Boomer's going to join us here on the Danny Parkins Show.
You know, it's the right thing to do, and I give Matt Nagy a lot of credit. People don't realize how hard it is for a coach to make a decision like this. You recognize it. You saw it. You saw it in the eyes of Mitch Trubisky. There was no reason for Mitch to be throwing interceptions, and he made the decision to go to Nick Foles, and now he's going to stick with Nick Foles.
Listen to Danny Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, when the big razor companies come out with their newest thing, like they've added six more blades or they have some warm goo that comes out of it, that's just an excuse to hike the price on everything. Because if you really look at what you're getting for your money, it's insane to be throwing away money for all the stuff that is overpriced, incredibly overdesigned. What you should be doing is shaving with Harry's. That's what I've been doing for a couple years now. And Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as just $2 each. And you can get them in stores, but the great deal right now is by shopping online. You can get a trial set for just $3 when you use the code DANB at checkout at harrys.com. And these blades are really sharp. They can go so far as to say, either their lawyers let them say this, so that means something. In a study with guys shaving 4 times a week, the guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. And they can deliver this quality at the low price because they own the entire supply chain. They own a German factory that has been making razor blades for 100 years. They source their Swedish steel. They own the whole process from research and development to the factory floor. So you can get Harry's sharpest blades right now as part of this trial set. It's $3 with the code DANB at harrys.com. That means a 5-blade razor, the weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, and a travel cover get to you for $3, and it ships for free. This is too good to pass up. So go to harrys.com and use the code DANB.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS and sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000.
Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Your voice, your vote. In our democracy, they matter. Make yours count. Get registered, learn the issues, and vote by or on November 3rd. Visit vote411.org. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with the new Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich. The Queen of Spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price and participation may vary.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Mully and Hall.
Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot.
It's got to be real dialogue, meaning they've got to sit down with us, with our public health folks. They've got to demonstrate to us that they actually have a real plan in place, a plan that's going to keep everybody safe, including the workers at Soldier Field. Tons of people from the Park District to the Bears operation that also have to be safe and protected. And that's way before you have any conversation about letting the average fan in. You know, I watched the opening night of the NFL, and I was quite surprised to see our fans in the stand at Kansas City. Very interested to know what they did, how they made the selections, and also what was the screening process that they used to get fans in the stand. It's a complicated thing. I can't just react to someone saying, oh yeah, we want to get fans in the stand.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, LoHo Daily. I record every day before or after the show. And here's what it is. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day. I get a long form way to do it.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out LoHo Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Ed Obradovich joins us. A lot of heavy hearts today, OB. How have you been?
Yeah, hanging in there. He was the most fantastic runner I have ever seen in my life. Dan was pretty much a quiet person. And I can tell you something. We were playing the Rams. This is in 1965. Let me tell you what he did. He ran for a bazillion yards, but he also he ran a pump back for a touchdown. He ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. And he threw a pass to Dick Gordon for a touchdown. From that day on, he had all the respect of everybody on that team. He's a very special person. If I was to pick a running back, if you had a game, and you could talk about Jim Brown, you could talk about a lot of people, but I'll tell you what, for one game, it would be Gale Sayers.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We started the show by talking a lot of baseball in the first hour after transition with Mully and Haw, and then it was the always energetic, entertaining, and insightful Brian Geltzeiler talking NBA Finals and Jimmy Butler and Chicago Bulls. All really good stuff, and a very positive review of the Billy Donovan hire from him. Craig Calcaterra went around baseball with us and talked Cubs and Sox shortly thereafter. This from CBS. Agricultural officials in Washington state said they are trying to find and destroy a nest of Asian giant hornets, also known as murder hornets, amid concerns they could kill honeybees, crucial for pollinating raspberry and blueberry crops. Evidence of six of the hornets were found over the last week. Near the town of Blaine in Whatcom County, the Washington State Department of Agriculture told reporters, you remember when we last left you and the murder hornet story, there were a couple of dead hornets that were found, and the concern wasn't necessarily that there was a hive or a nest. Well, now the number of hornets found, nearly double the previous number discovered in the state, would indicate a nest has been established in the area, the agency said. One of the hornets was trapped alive, a first for the agency. And that's important, and I'll tell you why in a second. Think about why a live hornet would matter here. Sven-Erik Spichiger, a department entomologist, said, we believe we are dealing with a nest. We hope to locate the nest in a couple weeks and eradicate it. I got to go after a couple paper wasp nests out here on the porch. I'm looking at it right now. There's like a concave railing on our little porch here off the back bedroom, and they love it under there. And I love going in and spraying them and hearing their screams as they die and fall into the gutters. Well, there are pictures here on Facebook that were shared by the WSDA, and there are two dead murder hornets next to a yellow jacket, and they make the yellow jacket look like a flea. It's frightening. They're five times bigger. They have another picture of a live hornet attacking a wasp nest. So we have that in common. But it is 2 inches long. It can decimate entire hives of honeybees and deliver painful stings to humans. The invasive insect is found in China, Japan, Thailand, South Korea, Vietnam, and other Asian countries, first documented last year in Washington State. It is not known how it arrived. Washington and British Columbia are the only places they've been found in this continent. And there have been reports from Asia of the hornets stinging people so often they've died. They kill at most a few dozen people in Asia. It's a few dozen people. And experts say it's probably far less. Hornets, wasps, and bees, typically found in the U.S., kill an average of 62 people a year. So the real threat from the hornets is their devastating attacks on honeybee hives. And this is the time of year when they attack those hives, and he calls it the slaughter phase. That's not a good phase. You don't want to be in the slaughter phase. I want to be in the laughter phase. A state scientist managed to trap one in recent days. Officials tried to glue a radio tag to it so they could follow the hornet back to its nest. But alas, the glue did not dry fast enough. The radio tag fell off, and the hornet ultimately could not fly. Scientists hope to capture another live hornet and try again. Oh, wait. You're blaming the glue? Maybe you didn't wait long enough. Next time, wait longer or get faster drying glue. There's always some infomercial of some special glue. Use that glue, the one that holds the boat together, whatever it is. People living in the Blaine area have been reporting sightings of the hornets to agricultural officials. And there's evidence that giant hornets are attacking native wasps and hornets. And it ends with a picture of someone holding up a murder hornet between thumb and forefinger. And let's get on with it. Get better glue, find these things, and please get rid of them as quickly as possible. All right, here's the book recommendation. And I saw this, and this is like Homer Simpson getting the bowling ball for Marge. My wife loves Goodfellas. Anytime it's on, automatic, lock in, forget it. She'll watch it to the end. Whether in Casino, Goodfellas, she loves Scorsese movies. The more violent, the better. It's her thing. I mean, I obviously like it too, but I saw that there's this book, Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, that just came out. And it's written by Glenn Kenny, who is a brilliant writer. He was a friend of David Foster Wallace and is a true film intellect. Just one of the smartest people who writes a very sprightly prose style. And so I buy it as a present for my wife, and I give it to her, and she's like, okay, I'm not reading it yet. I've got other things I want to read. Oh, can I read it? And she gives me this look. She's like, yes, fine, you can read. Because she knows I read fast and I'll be done with it in a day and a half or whatever. So it's really not that big a deal, but I totally felt this Homer Simpson vibe. This book is so good. If you like Goodfellas, especially if you love Goodfellas or there's someone in your life, it starts out with the background and talking with Nicholas Pileggi and talking about Wise Guy and discussing with the family of Henry Hill about all the real people involved and telling the story of the Lufthansa heist and some of the real people involved. Then getting into Scorsese and how he began the process, and then through the casting meetings and the readings and how it all got together, and then they get into the meat of it, and it's just what you want. It is in order of every scene, every shot, not just annotated, but digressed and sub-referenced of every shot of the movie. What went into it? How much? What was improv'd? Where they were? How it was, who arrived first at the call time? And what discussions were going on in between takes? And what changed from the book, or what changed in editing? And it takes you through the story the entire way, in talking to every one of the principals. Going back to the musical history of Joe Pesci and Frank Vincent playing in bands together, and what their relationship was like, and how they had a natural rivalry that could easily come to the screen. Even though they were dear friends, they knew how to push each other's buttons, and in those scenes, and how where Frank Vincent changed some of the dialogue, and Billy Batch, the stuff about the shine box, talking to Michael Imperioli about playing Spider. And I don't want to ruin any of this stuff for you, because there's so many, oh my gosh, moments in there of learning who in some of these scenes in the background are real gangsters, that they knew they had to have real dudes in there who understood even just, you know, some body language things, and about how they insisted on some things being real. It's really engrossing. I can't wait. I'm literally, the moment this show ends, I'm going to grab a bite to eat, I'm going to get on the recumbent bike, and I'm going to read more. I'm probably going to finish it today at my son's hockey practice. And it's one of these things where the moment I finish it, I'm going to be sad that I can't read it for the first time again. And maybe during the bye week or something, we'll try to grab Glenn Kenny and put him on, because his passion for it comes through. The number of other filmmakers they talk to who were inspired by this movie, because it's 1990. You know, it's already a long time ago that it hit the theaters. So there are people who went on to become important filmmakers who weren't the same after they walked out of that theater in 1990 and either realized that they wanted to make movies, or that they wanted to make movies in a certain way. The other aspect, too, is it's the music, and it's how Scorsese feels what music it is. There's this handwritten notes of his, little scribbles and little handwritten notes about which rock songs and which Motown songs are popping into his head and why. And then it's talking about how everything means something. There isn't anything, whether it's in the background on a television or a casting choice that's because of a relative or a relationship, the way the hairdos are, the way the costumes are designed, anything that's on in the background, anything that you see, everything matters. It's all part of the texture of it. And the arguments with the studio, and at one point Terry Semel, who was the executive producers are bankrolling the studio, didn't understand the funny how scene, funny like a clown. What is this?
Funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Yeah, they tried to take that out. The suits tried to take that out because they didn't get it. And Scorsese kind of nodded along and ignored them. And that actually, Pesci, that was his. Pesci wrote that sort of by himself, pitched it to Scorsese, and said, could you find a place for this, even though it's not in the book, and this is something that Tommy DeSimone might do? And it's like, yeah, okay, we'll try it. And he would workshop it, and they would talk things through, and they'd work it out, and they would do readings, and just the way he worked with the actors. Again, the book is called Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, and it is phenomenal. Coming up next, we're going to talk about just the sad truth of Bears and quarterbacks. He wrote about it for The Athletic. The editor of The Athletic Chicago, John Greenberg, is going to join us next. We'll commiserate on The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, Hoops guru Jay Zawoski here. The NBA Finals are here, and FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook is ready to support your betting needs during the NBA Finals. FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook has over 400 NBA betting markets, not counting tens of thousands of same-game parlay combinations, with markets as granular as first-quarter player points and player to make or miss the first field goal. There are topical pregame super boosts and in-game boosts, so you can continue getting the best odds and promotions throughout. Don't forget their same-game parlays. FanDuel is the only place with same-game parlay for the finals, where you can combine multiple bets from one matchup or team into a single parlay. I love playing those, by the way. There's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, but here's one more. Right now, new users can place their first bet risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Seriously, there are no strings attached, so place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. You've got a risk-free bet. I know a lot of people still don't like LeBron James, so bet against him. Bet with the former Bull, Jimmy Butler. They didn't need Jimmy Butler. He's no good. He's not a franchise-changing kind of a guy. Okay. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to place your NBA Finals bet. And if you're new, be sure to sign up with promo code J so they know I sent you. That's promo code J, J-A-Y. 21 plus and present in Illinois or Indiana. Site credit is now withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Pros today have to do whatever the job calls for, and the Home Depot is here to help make that easier. With a wide range of delivery options, you can get what you need from job lot quantities to small supply runs delivered where and when you need it. Don't want to buy the tool? Rent it. We've got the most innovative products and more ways for pros to find them, in-store and online. Pros are changing, so are we. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS and sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See